right, folks, it's time for the Nerdy Point of View podcast, where we explore the nerdier side of life via random topics that we come up with and discuss for your entertainment. I am one of your hosts, the literal worst, Brian Penaloza. With me today is the pun master herself, Carrie Lyons.
Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be here.
And, of course, the villain of the show, Martin Franklin.
See, I know I'm like the bad guy, but those puns, they're even getting to me at this point.
See, I knew you'd come around.
I'm on my own little island.
Yeah, you can stay there with your puns.
I will.
I'm only kidding. I love the puns.
No, you don't.
Thank you.
No one loves the puns.
You hush. Everyone loves the puns.
No, they begrudgingly accept them because they like you as a human being.
I mean, I don't know. We've had some pretty good reception from people. I mean, guys, if you like the puns, send us a comment because, I mean, we have to prove B wrong here.
Don't at me.
At him. At him with all the puns.
Don't forget, we are also sponsored by DiceBard. Go to DiceBard.com and check out their outstanding selection of dice. They've got the glow-in-the-dark dice for just $10. My favorite set of dice, the rainbow dice, only $20. And if you like metal, they've got you covered there as well for just $25, plus many more styles and colors. DiceBard has everything you need to play Dungeons & Dragons, if all you need is dice. And of course, don't forget to use the discount code NERDY for free expedited shipping on your order.
And of course, when you do receive your dice and you hit that crit and you take out that boss, do remember to tweet Bear with whichever kind of cool pun-based one-liner you hit the boss with as
Why?
They die.
Why?
Because he's...
You want to know.
I actually, you know what, speaking of that real quick...
That's the exception.
The last game of Norvos that we did, I did a really cool one-liner, and by that I mean an awful one.
yeah.
Where, oh God, I forget what was... It was shit, what were we fighting in the forest? It wasn't the Displacer Beast, was it? I don't know. But it was essentially a play on I'm tired of these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane. And then I said it before I rolled the dice, thinking, right. Now I'm going to womp womp. And I actually critted, killed it.
Oh, nice.
And it was fucking epic. And you can actually see that at Soul Bear Prod on YouTube. Norvos, I believe that was episode 3.
Yes.
I think.
Yes. Let's say yes.
Anyway, with that, let's jump into some topics. And Martin, we were going to let you lead off with this one.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. So I, the other day, finished reading an amazing book that I would thoroughly recommend to anyone that can get their hands on it. I was lent this book, had it for about 3 weeks, and then was like asked, you know, do you mind if I have my book back? And I was like, oh shit, not read it yet. So I just like blitzed my way through it. It is a I guess call it a graphic novel by a Japanese artist / comic writer called Junji Ito. It's called Uzumaki, and it's Spiral into Horror, and it's just phenomenal. Like, I would recommend it wholeheartedly. It's creepy, it's absurd, it's insanely detailed in its illustration. And being Japanese, you read it from what is for us back to front, basically, yeah. Which is an incredibly strange and also kind of off-putting sensation when you're reading a horror thing. It's like it even plays into it. So I wanted to know off the back of that, like having had this experience with a type of book I'd never really read before, what the last thing you guys read was, whether you enjoyed it. How you found it. And I also wanted to bring up the conversation, because I think this is quite an interesting one, on how you feel about like ebooks and things, whether you are someone that reads via Kindle or whether you prefer like an audiobook, things like that. Either of you have anything in particular that comes to mind?
I know I do. Do you, Carrie?
Yeah, but if you want to go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Absolutely.
Oh, what a gentleman. As for the last book I read, mine's actually not quite a graphic novel, but a comic book. And it was a couple of Tank Girl comics that I picked up at a local comic book shop. And they're done by Jamie Hewlett and Alan Martin. Awesome guys. You guys may not know this, but they're actually the artists that are behind the Gorillaz art for the band.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's why, like, you'll notice, like, the Tank Girl comics have a very similar animation style to them. Very kind of unorthodox kind of, I guess, animation, but just like very kind of punky style as well. But as for the like ebooks thing, like I was one of those people beforehand that like I wanted the feel of a real book in my hands. I was never really into the whole like Kindle thing. And then when I was having troubles looking for a few books in the In Death series by J.D. Robbs, another amazing, amazing book series. I suggest taking it, checking out if you like these kind of futuristic cop drama, I guess you could call it. But or not cop drama, a cop kind of mystery book. But I love this series, and I was having troubles finding certain books out of it. And with Kindle, it's just you search it up, you buy it, and boom, you have it. So like, I love the convenience of that. But I hate knowing that my time reading is limited by a battery.
Right. Yeah, I can see that. I was the same. I was very hesitant about it because I just love the feel of a real book and everything. And then I ended up being given one and had a similar thing. Like, I had a couple books that were recommended to me, couldn't find them. And it does change your mind. But the battery thing is an issue, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, depending on kind of what device you have, I suppose. Because some of them now have got batteries that last for like several weeks if you leave them going. Yeah, like the Paperwhite, which is what I have. I don't really have to worry about it. Like, anytime within like the space of a month, I can pick it up and use it as long as I remember to plug it in now and then. And I think, I suppose, if you're going away, if you want to travel and you don't really want to take a crap ton of books with you, it's quite nice. But there still is nothing nicer, right, than that rustle and that feel of paper.
Yeah.
No, see, exactly.
Before I give my book, like, I was kind of the same. Like, I like the tactile feel of a book in my hands. That said, I realized that, like, in order for me to read a book, I'd have to remember to bring it with me everywhere I go for, like, the spare 10 minutes here or 10 minutes there that I would have time to read.
Yeah.
And I don't have, like, a Kindle proper. I just have the Kindle app on my phone and a really big phone screen. So the convenience of, like, having a book on my phone, I hated it at first as I was trying to get used to reading a book on my phone. But now I kind of love it just because no matter where I am, I always have a book with me. So, like, the books that I was having difficult time reading because I didn't have time and I would have to, again, just remember to bring it with me everywhere, it's just always in my pocket. So I could just pop it out, read a chapter or two, and then, you know, finish up whatever I was doing. Or, you know, like, if I'm waiting in line somewhere, just pop out a book, and it's really convenient. I kind of love it now.
I think that's the thing about it, isn't it? It's like, in a way, it actually gets you reading a lot more than you ever would have been before, because when you're looking for a book, you're looking for that, like, perfect time to stop and read. Like, I know the way that I read is, you know, I'll do it a lot, like, at my local coffee shop if I go and sit in there. Like, that's the perfect thing. But at home, I'm maybe not as likely to. Whereas, like you say, if you can just pick your phone out when you've got 10 minutes here and there, you get through a lot more.
Yeah, it is true. I do love it for, like, when I'm sitting on the bus and stuff like that.
I think the only, like, massive downside to it for me is it makes it harder to decide what to read next, because you do have access to everything now. Like, if you've got your Kindle or something, you want to just pick up a new book, you're not just looking through, you know, a little section in maybe a small bookstore near you. You're looking at every book available on the Amazon Kindle store, and it's like, I don't know what to choose now. Just the saturation is huge, but...
Hashtag first world problems.
Exactly. Yeah, literally that, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, I used to be a big time reader. Like, I would go through, oh god, a book every, like, few days, you know. But as life has gotten way more busy and hectic for me, I found that I had spent months without reading a book, and it was just kind of distressing. And now I can burn through books almost as quickly as I used to, just by reading in my spare time, whenever, like, you know, I could just look at my phone and read it. So it's definitely helped me get back into reading, which I'll bring it to the book, the last book I read. It's a book by a guy named Dan Reichert, who I've reached out to and has agreed to be on our show. He's written a few books. He's mostly known for his time at Game Informer and currently Giant Bomb. Great guy, hilarious guy. So I wanted to read a couple of his books that I've been kind of putting off reading, and then realized I could just get them on Kindle. And turned out they were free on Prime, so it was even easier and better. But the last book I read was called The Dumbest Kid in Gifted Class. And it's essentially, like, it's a bunch of stories from, like, his childhood and college days. Just, like, some of the weird, wacky shit that he's had happen, some of the, like, incredible people he's met, and, like, how all that kind of stuff happened. the guy's led a very interesting life, and the book itself is super interesting. Like, I really had trouble putting it down. I burned through it in probably 2 days. I just spent just hours sitting there reading it. I highly recommend it. It's different from what I usually read, because I tend to read more like sci-fi fantasy kind of stuff. So like almost like biographical in nature books were not something I was super into, but fuck, this guy's had a very interesting life.
Well, I'm looking forward to having him on the show.
Yeah, without a doubt. What is it, next week it should be? We have a tentative recording date because he's a very busy dude, and he said, you know, in case something comes up, let's pick a couple dates. So hopefully it all lines up and he's on next week. But if not, we have a couple backup dates just in case.
Right on.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely, from what I've seen, and I'm actually kind of interested because he has a book about anxiety and stuff as well, right?
Yes.
So that'll be really interesting. I haven't read that, but I might give that a go. We've had these conversations before, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we have. I read that one before I read this one, and yeah, I do highly recommend that one as well, Martin, especially for, you know, people like us who tend to have a lot of anxiety. It's a really cool look into the life of someone who first discovered having it, what it meant for them, and what worked for them, and knowing that it doesn't work for everybody. I don't know. It was a really insightful book. And I kind of wish I would have read it years ago when it first came out.
Oh, awesome. There's definitely a few things to check out. And it's interesting because I think that's, you also make a good point about books, is that sometimes remembering to read something different from what you normally read is actually really important. Personally, in a lot of things recently, I was reminded that you don't really know what your favorite thing is until you find it and you like it. Obviously, like, that's obviously a good sign, something's your favorite thing because you really like it, but you don't really know if it's your favorite until you keep trying other things and you realize you want to go back to that other thing. So, you know, if you have found like what you think is your niche and what you think is your market in terms of reading and stuff, don't forget to try other things now and then, because you might find something you like better, or just as equal, or you might really affirm that actually, yes, that is the thing I like. But it's worth doing, you know, just find something you would never normally read and give it a chance.
Hells yes.
Yeah, especially if you do have like the Kindle app and Amazon Prime, because there's a lot of books that are free with Prime. And it kind of allows you, you know, with $0 down on your part, to kind of experiment and, you know, check out things. Worst case scenario, you don't like it and you say, okay, well, I'm done reading this. And it didn't really cost you anything to do that and to have an experience.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Plus, it does save a lot of space on shelves. obviously, if you really, really like a book, definitely go and pick it up, get the physical copy, put it on your shelf, because a house without books, you know, in my opinion, something that feels wrong. Yeah. But yeah, definitely, it's so quick and easy to do now. But, yeah, especially because we do so much digital things, right? I mean, we're like huge, you know, we're huge online users in the internet and everything. So it's remembering now and then to stop and just do something that's just you, your mind. It's super important.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Yeah. You know what else is important? Finding time to play video games.
Absolutely, which is
It's not something I find a lot of time for anymore, but I've found myself playing with my 3DS a lot more, especially since getting Pokemon Ultra Moon. And it made me think, I have some like Pokemon that since like Pokemon Blue, when I first started playing, I always have to have in my roster. You know, I definitely have my favorites, but I want to know what your favorite Pokemon are and why. And then... you know, kind of curious to see what your guys' answers would be, because there's so many different types and styles now, and so many, you know, probably over 1,000 different Pokemon at this point. So what it would be and why. What about you, Carrie? How about you go first on this one?
All right. I have to say instantly my favorite is Lucario. It always has been ever. Yeah, no, like, for the longest time, Charmander was my favorite. He was classic, and he turned into Charizard, so like the little kid in me just always loved him. But then when I discovered Lucario, it was just love at first sight, because as a history of doing martial arts, I love the whole fighting aspect and that he looked kind of like ninja-esque, I guess. I just loved it. And he doesn't have like a whole lot of weaknesses. Yes, like psychic was one of his weaknesses, like in a huge way, but there's not a whole lot of Pokemon out there with psychic moves, especially when the time that Lucario came out. So that wasn't exactly a big concern for me. But yeah, like I really don't have too many great reasons for loving him, but like I actually have my Lucario plushie.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Lucario is one of those really weird characters that always makes me think of Digimon. Like, I always feel like Lucario is a Digimon that lives in the Pokemon world. Like, there's just something about
him. Maybe that's
why
I liked him, because I always did love Digimon as well.
It's, you've got great taste. Digimon was a great show.
Hell yes. Digital monsters.
So, yeah, just Lucario, is that, like, that's the standout. So, I suppose Charmander as well?
Yeah, like, yeah, like Charmander's the shit, but I mean, who doesn't fucking love Charmander?
I mean, heathens, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Well, you say that, but every Pokemon game, I pick the grass starter.
Really?
Without fail.
You would.
Is that a me thing? Is that very me to do? Because, well, yeah, I always pick the grass starter.
Yeah,
because
everybody else likes fire and burning shit down. And you're like, I hate myself and I'm sad, so please burn
me. Yeah, exactly, right?
It's the British in you.
Venusaur's fucking cool. Like,
you know, actually, I just evolved my Ivysaur into a Venusaur like yesterday, so that was exciting.
Nice, very
right
cool.
On.
Yes,
it's a very good shout. So, yeah, Brian, like, what would your original starters? Charmander, Bulbasaur, Squirtle. Who was your pick?
Oh God, obviously Charmander.
Yeah, it was Charmander as well. Okay, right. Okay, no, that's fine.
Yeah, burn the fuck out of
it. Didn't realize I recorded a podcast with a bunch of sheep.
Oh, shit.
I'm joking. Charmander is cool.
That is the most sass I think I've ever heard out of you in about 20 episodes of this show.
I can't. No, I don't mean that. It's just like, I don't know. I think, like, for some reason, always on the grass ones. But so recently, because we literally had a mini chat about this before we started recording, and I've just picked up Ultra Moon. Or I've had it now for about half a year, but I just started properly playing it. And I really freaking love the whole Abracadabra Alakazam combo, like that evolution tree. Yeah. I never used to use it before because Abra was just a bitch to catch. But yeah.
Abra's still a bitch to catch.
Yeah, without a doubt. I got very lucky with catching mine. Luckily, I know someone that still plays, so I was able to trade my Kadabra with them to get Alakazam. Because that's how you evolve Kadabra. And yeah, like, I just freaking love Alakazam. But when you asked this question, I was like, actually, I don't really know if I have a favorite Pokemon, though. Like, I've never really had, like, a team that's, like, stayed the same the whole way through. Like, presumably you would always get Lucario, right? And Lucario would just be in your team no matter what.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. Right?
I've never had a Pokemon that has been that Pokemon. But, and again, I did mention this very briefly, in terms of, like, Pokemon that I just freaking love right now, there's one called Rockruff, like this little puppy called Rockruff, who evolves into, I think it's like a day form and a night form, depending on when they evolve. But with Ultra Moon and Sun, they had a special event version. And if you evolve it between 5 and 6 in the evening on Pokemon Sun and 5 and 6 in the morning in Pokemon Moon, it will turn into Lycanroc, which is like a special version. It turns into Lycanroc whatever, but it turns into a special dusk version. And it's the fucking coolest looking thing I've ever seen. And I'm like in love with this Pokemon now. I think it's really nice when you get that like childish feeling of like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like I hadn't really felt that in a while. So it's really neat.
Yes. I just looked it up and it's actually, yeah, that's pretty cool looking Pokemon, I gotta say.
Yeah, like Lycanroc, like any of the forms look pretty cool, but the Dusk one, it's like an orange fox style looking thing, and it's very Digimon like. But it's
kind of refreshing though, because like the Pokemon were kind of like starting to get ridiculous around like Black and White.
Oh god, yeah. There's a Pokemon that's a friggin' set of keys on a chain, and an ice cream Pokemon.
Yeah, there's an ice cream and a chandelier.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, guys? You guys are running out of ideas here.
And I don't really there's so many Pokemon things. I've been having a lot of conversation with these recently. There's a lot of Pokemon that don't evolve into the things that it looks like they should. Mm-hmm. Like Dragonair, for example, is one of my favorite Pokemon, and it should not turn into Dragonite.
No, but it really does. So
that's fine. But anyway, sorry, I'm gonna get carried away. Brian, your favorite.
So since Pokemon Blue, it has always been, and it will always be, Scyther.
Yes,
Scyther.
Yes. Scyther, okay, stupid voice notwithstanding, Scyther has two fucking knives for arms, and that is cool as shit. Yeah.
It's pretty
like,
badass.
Scyther will fucking cut a bitch. He doesn't give a fuck.
Hells yes. Like, that was the whole reason of me going to the safari, was pretty much solely to get him.
Oh, damn, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I seem to remember, though, you could either get Scyther or Pinsir, right? Like, it was one or the other. Or
yeah. Scyther all the way. Else. Fuck Pinsir.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Pinsir's a bitch, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got fucking, like, little pinchers on his head. You know, fucking noob. Go get fucked. Hate Pinsir.
Yeah, same.
But, no, like, so, with Ultra Moon, I don't even know if you can catch him or not. I'm sure you can. I
think you can, yeah.
I got really impatient, and I got Wonder Traded a second Litten. And I already had
Litten. Oh,
so
nice.
I just put up my Litten for trade. I was like, just give me a fucking Scyther. And I got my Scyther, and I'm so fucking happy now.
Nice.
Right on. Yes.
Yeah. And he's a fucking beast, too. He's got, like, he's got, like, four really bitchin' moves, but he's a level one. So I'll get to, you know, level him up on my own pace and stuff, and I just can't wait.
Yeah.
Yes.
Scyther's my buddy.
That's super cool. And that's, like, really nice. Like, again, it's that childhood, like, excitement of, like, getting that Pokemon and being like, right, I'm going to take my time with this one. Like, I'm not going to rush. I'm not going to, like, you know. I am surprised to hear that your favorite Pokemon isn't Jinx. I really thought you were a Jinx kind of guy. But,
I have two Jinx that I got from the Pokemon.
Oh, really? Nice.
Pooberry's out, and Jinx was like, hey, I like your berries. And I was like, hey, I like
those are some nice berries you've got there.
And then, you know, we traded berries, and now she's on my team.
Very cool.
But also, shout out to Mr. Mime. I hate mimes, but Mr. Mime, I've always wanted one, and I've always had some trouble getting one for whatever fucking reason. And in this game, super easy, because I got a Mime Jr., and he was actually one of the first Pokemon I caught.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Yeah, I can't get into him. I just hear his voice in my head, and
I've noticed, like, most of my favorite Pokemon are Gen 1 Pokemon, but Lugia is the best of the birds, the legendary birds.
Yeah, I have to agree on that.
And Ho-Oh can go fuck right off. Sorry to all you Ho-Oh fans out there, but you're wrong.
He just wants to keep saying Ho.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on right
that's
now.
That's it. That's exactly it. You
we're on to you now.
Dead right on the money there. Like, very fucking astute observations from the two of you.
That's what we're here for. Yeah.
Jeez, man. No, but is it? I like Pokemon. Pokemon's one of those things that I fall in and out of. But it always feels nice to come back to it. The only thing that, like, with Ultra Moon that kind of got me is I was really looking forward to. The last game I played was Alpha Sapphire, and I literally went and I caught everything that was available in that game. Like, I rinsed it. And I was kind of sad to, like, know that not everything was in Ultra Moon. I was really hoping that you could go get everything, you know? But it's like a selection from here, there, and everywhere, which is kind of sad because, you know, I want to be the very best, you know, like no one ever was. And how am I meant to do that if they don't give me the chance to?
Trading.
Yeah, that's it. Wonder Trade is great, you know? The only thing I feel about Wonder Trade is I don't want to be, like, giving shit out. Like, so I feel like I have to go and get, like, decent stuff to Wonder Trade.
Nope. Fuck you. I traded a Spearow and got a shiny Espeon.
Fuck's sake. That's so bullshit.
I've never had a shiny Pokemon ever.
Neither have
really?
I. This is my first one.
Apparently you can get shiny starters. Like, if you soft reset the game enough times, that is like a 1 in 3,090-something chance to get a shiny starter.
Yeah, I remember
starter.
That. I tried it once, and I, like, yeah, I totally lost patience by, like, the 10th time. I'm like,
right.
No, I'm over
I'm
this.
Not surprised.
In Pokemon X, I did my best to try to breed a shiny Charmander by hatching just, like, a fuck ton of Charmander eggs.
Okay.
Never happened.
Yes.
Never happened.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I never had a shiny Pokemon until that I got Wonder Traded that
totally,
shiny
Espeon. Totally, like, puppy mailed that shit.
Yeah, yeah, well, then I was just Wonder Trading Charmanders left and right. But
I suppose that's the good side about that, is you can then send Charmanders out into the world for the people who aren't going to be breeding them and stuff. Because I didn't realize breeding was a thing until this game, if I'm honest. Like, I didn't realize the depths you could go into with, like, eggs and, like, getting all the particular stats up and all that kind of stuff.
Dude, breeding's been a thing since, like, Silver and Gold.
Yeah, but I just haven't really played. I think I had Black and then I had Alpha Sapphire, but I never really played Black a lot. So, it's kind of like the amount to see that is... Like, Ultra Moon is a game I feel like I will probably play for quite a while. Until they eventually... Come on, Nintendo. I'm surprised you didn't do an April Fool's, like, Switch Pokemon game announcement. Although, you would have been lynched if that wasn't true. But that's what I'm waiting for. Like, if they release Pokemon for the Switch, like, I'm so down for that. But...
Dude, that's the only thing that'll get me to get a Switch. And Nintendo, get your shit together. Because, honestly, it's been fucking long enough. Give us a proper console fucking Pokemon game.
Like, I recently picked one up for, Breath of the Wild. Like, it's like Breath of the Wild got me to buy a Switch, like, and I'm not really gonna play much else on it, but yeah, I feel like with the engine and stuff that's available to them, like Nintendo and what they have, like, they could make that Pokemon game. They're just waiting to, like, I reckon, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the kind of thing they do for, like, just when the Switch loses momentum, and then they're like, by the way guys, Pokemon for the Switch, and it's nearly Christmas.
You're giving, like, them way too much credit. Nintendo does not have that kind of foresight.
Yeah, that's true.
They'll do it, and they'll make way too few copies of it, despite knowing full well it would be the greatest selling game of all time if they just had the stock available, but they just never do.
Yeah, they're famous for that shit. They do that on purpose. They intentionally do shortages, which is the dumbest fucking thing. Like, I used to be
fake demand,
huge...
right?
No, exactly. I used to be such a huge Nintendo fan, but I don't know who is making the decisions there, but they're a fucking idiot.
Yep.
Like, I never thought I'd feel so much venom towards Nintendo, but I really do.
I mean, the fact is, like, they can just sit there now, right? They can make a loss for, like, God knows how many years and just...
Oh, God, yeah.
Not anymore. Okay. Because they spent too many years taking losses. Like,
yeah.
They were getting... if the Switch didn't work, they were fucked. Like, they were running out of their cash reserves.
Well, I think they fucked up, like, when I talked about that time before with their dealings with Sony, how they were supposed to have a contract with them for the CD-ROM, and then they ended up going against that and siding with, I can't remember who it was now, but siding with another company behind Sony's... Philips, thank you, yeah. Behind Sony's back, and then Sony's like, okay, fuck you, we'll go independent then. If Nintendo had actually done that right and had created and stuck with that contract with Sony, I think they would have been in a much better place today.
Yeah, they have a long history of poor decision making.
Yup.
Yeah, but funny controllers, they right, guys? That's what matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I would give anything for them to just make a fucking, just a regular ass console. You know what I mean? Like, without some kind of gimmick, without some kind of, like, zany Nintendo-ness to it. Like,
yeah. Can we bring back just, like, the Nintendo guns?
Oh, yeah. God, what were they
called? They were so fun.
The Zapper?
There was a Zapper, and then there was also a Bazooka, I think, for the Terminator game.
Was that what that was for?
I know it was one of the games you used it for anyways. I don't know if it was specifically made for that game, but I remember we had the Terminator game.
All I know is we need to get a hashtag going to bring back Duck Hunt. Bring back Duck Hunt.
Oh my God.
And they got to bring that fucking shitty dog back too. The one that
With his shitty grin. Like, yeah.
Have you guys ever played Drunk Duck Hunt?
No, Drunk Hunt.
Oh my God, it's amazing. We played that all the time back in college. And let me just say that you start off the game at the very back of the room. You're like, yeah, bitch, I got this. I'm a pro. And then, like, a few drinks in, you've got your gun literally, like, pressed against the TV, and you're like, I'm fucking shooting it! Stop laughing at me!
I don't know why, but that just made me really sad.
Aww. I'm sorry.
You know what else makes me sad?
Your topic. No, but go on.
Your topic, Carrie.
Oh! Is it just my topics in general?
I mean, yes, but this one in particular.
Okay, well, let's just dive into it then. Yeah. So I'm curious, do you have any superstitions? And if so, what is one of them?
Do I know why this topic makes me sad?
Why?
Because I don't really have one.
Aww.
Yeah. So, Martin, you go first, man, because I got nothing.
I mean, I don't really have any superstitions. Like, I've known a lot of people who have, like, people who won't walk over manhole covers and things like that, like, won't step on the cracks, or you know, in the pavement and all that kind of thing. The only thing that I do, which is like a weird, it's not even superstition, I don't think anything bad will happen, it's almost just habit, is when I see a single magpie, I'll imitate spitting, so like that, and I'll say, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie."
Whoa, hang on. No moving on from this just yet.
Walk us through this. So basically, I'm not really sure what the origins of it are. I just know that, like, family members used to do it, and so it's something that I did and I carry on. But basically, magpies mate for life. So when you see one on their own, it's generally like a bad omen because they've lost their partner. I believe that's why it's a thing that happens. But I don't know why you say "Good morning, Mr. Magpie" or anything like that to them. I just do it.
But what about the spitting?
Couldn't tell you. I no idea. I'm actually going to look this up very, very quickly. I know there's a bit of a rhyme that's that I don't really use for magpies, but people I know, like, so you know when you're walking down a street and you get like a series of like manhole covers that are kind of linked. Manhole covers might not be the right word for it, and I don't know if you guys get it, but we'll get like utility holes, and there'll be like three of them in a row, and people I know used to walk on them, and they go like, "One for luck, two for joy, three for girl, four for a boy." Like, there's a rhyme that goes for it. I think it's one for sorrow, two for joy, three for a girl, four for a boy, five for silver, six for gold, and I think it's seven for a secret never to be told, if I'm remembering that right. But basically, that originally came from the magpie thing. I don't know why I do the spit. I don't know why people in my family did that. But I know you say "Good morning, Mr. Magpie." You're supposed to say like "How is your lady wife today?" or something like that. It's like just showing respect to them. And by referring to the wife, according to this, I've just found something actually. Apparently you refer to the wife because it implies there are two magpies, which brings joy rather than sorrow of there being one.
Except for so the magpies, actually, like, "She's dead, you insensitive."
Right, exactly. you didn't even ask first, bitch. Which means I've been doing it wrong because I just say "Good morning, Mr. Magpie." I've actually been acknowledging that he's just on his own. As well as potentially misgendering, you know, which is very unfair as well.
How dare you?
Yeah, that is right? True.
But yeah, so that's my thing.
Maybe Mr. Magpie died in like a magpie construction incident or something.
You don't know. Like, he saw a really shiny screw and he was like, "I'm having that." And then,
you mean phrasing?
Yeah. Collapsed.
he saw a really shiny screw and then he had a different Mrs. Magpie.
We all enjoy a really shiny screw. So.
Oh, God.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
I just imagine it just being a really good screw.
Yeah, I'm kind of taking it in the whole firefly shiny terminology.
Yeah, shiny, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Okay, this works.
Yeah.
It's just a different universe. It's just a different,
So now you're going to be like, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie. Have you had a shiny screw today?"
did you and the missus have a shiny screw?
Oh, God.
But yeah, so that's kind of my little thing. I'll go, "Good morning, Mr. Magpie," when I see a magpie.
I'm not gonna
sometimes
lie.
Only in my head, but it's,
I'm not gonna lie. As much as I was making fun of that, that is probably the most whimsical, adorable fucking thing you've ever said.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I mean, I'm nothing if not whimsical, so you know.
I mean, you are never ever whimsical, but right there in that moment, you brought whimsy. Oh, shit.
I'll try and bring a bit more. I'll try and bring a little bit more whimsy to everything. It's just the magical, mystical land that is England, you know, where we still live in our castles and pay tribute to dragons.
Also known as magpies, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got now. The dragons are left. # Brexit.
Oh, God. Oh. What about you, Carrie? What's your superstition?
I don't really have a whole lot. Kind of like, there's one thing that I guess, because I grew up around my dad doing it a whole lot, I guess I kind of adopted it without realizing it, but it's knocking on wood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, knocking on wood.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That is one thing I do all the time. Like, I know B has caught me doing it a few times.
Do you knock on your head when you say it sometimes?
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah, okay, there's nothing good. Wood around. And apparently, like, that is a common thing. Yeah. Where did I just see it? because I was looking at the, I was trying to find the origin of knocking on wood, and apparently nobody actually knows the origin. Like, some theorize that it came from pagan roots, and then some theorize that it came from like German folklore. But like, there's actually all across the world, it translates differently. So, for instance, in Egypt, people say it when mentioning good luck that you have had in the past, or when you mention hopes you have for the future. And it's also sometimes used to prevent envy. Yeah, and in Italy, it's especially done after seeing an undertaker or something related to death. Ooh. So, yeah, these all things kind of like have translated differently. But for the most part, it is... knocking on wood or knocking on the forehead, like in Indonesia and Malaysia, they all say different things, but same thing. They knock on wood or their forehead to ward off something that's something happening that you mentioned, or yeah, the whatever. It's kind of like they word it differently for each country, but it pretty much summarizes the same concept. And so it was like a really kind of cool thing.
So I think like the UK thing descends from pagans. It's like it's basically what you said with the Indonesian stuff. It's like not warding away spirits and stuff. You're like, stay away from my dreams, leave them alone. Yeah. It's just so bizarre. But I do love the fact that we like it's a universal thing to tap on the head. Mm-hmm. Like my head's made of wood.
Yeah. In some countries, they will actually pull on their earlobe with the same hand that they knocked on wood with. And apparently, I didn't know this. But in most countries, wooden furniture doesn't count.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know this. Apparently, in most places, it has to be untreated, unpainted wood.
Okay.
So the more you know.
I did not know that. I've been, because this is another thing. Apparently, I've probably got a lot more than I think. Yeah, I'll always knock on like door frames and stuff. Ah, this whole time. That's why my life's so shitty. I'm joking.
Yeah, we've been doing it fucking wrong this whole time.
I think like the closest thing to a superstition I have, I mean, it's not really my superstition, it's really my grandmother's, but she does the whole like throw a pinch of salt over your left shoulder if you knock it over.
Got you.
My dad did that one as well, yeah.
Which to this day, like I understand the myth behind it. I guess like, you know, because salt was such a hot commodity back in the day, like to spill it was really bad luck. So you did that to kind of reverse the luck because logically that makes perfect fucking sense. He said sarcastically. But yeah, I mean, God, my family is actually pretty damn superstitious. I don't know why I never got any of that from them, but I think superstitions are kind of dumb.
I think
when you start to let them interfere with your life, I think that's when they start to go too far. Like, I'm not walking into traffic to avoid from walking underneath of a ladder. Like, I get, like, there's actually some kind of logic to that because, hey, don't walk under a ladder because someone could drop something and boom. I don't think it has anything to do with bad luck. But if, like, just an empty ladder is standing there, like, my dad, he used to get so mad at me and he would try and, like, pull me physically, like, away from it. And I'd be like, bitch, I'm walking under it.
Yeah, I mean, that, the whole, like, you know, break a mirror, get 7 years bad luck. You know, the whole opening an umbrella inside, like, you know, I just like,
oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. I just,
that does really interest me though, that every one that you guys have brought up is exactly the same over here. Like we do use them. It just goes to show that they have been around for that long, that they are like a shared superstition.
They probably originated from Britain because let's face it, they're all about having bad luck and being sad. So
it's true though.
Yeah, that's very true. It's like the umbrella inside thing. I think like, you can see why. It's like, yeah, because you might open it up and knock down that priceless Chinese vase that you just stole from, you know, a dynasty on your world-conquering voyage. Like, and so you don't open it indoors, you go outside with it instead. I think it is all just common sense stuff normally. Like I say, you don't walk under a ladder because someone might drop a paint can on your head.
Yeah, exactly.
Try not to break a mirror because you're going to be treading on broken bits of mirror for weeks because it's impossible to find, like, if it's on your carpet and stuff. There was a topic I nearly brought up a few weeks ago with the idea of magical thinking, which is like a really interesting term that I found out. And it's something that I do want to visit with us sometime. The fact that humans are predisposed to magical thinking, like we like to have something more than just because that's the way it is. to help us process stuff. So
that's gonna be a good topic, because I am totally just a that's the way it is kind of person.
Right. Yeah. I think that's why it is so interesting, is because it's like there's so many topics you can go into about it as well.
I am not
and
magical.
You can You're a wizard, Brian.
No.
No?
No.
No, he's a bard, don't you know?
No.
Oh, you will be.
No, he's just a talking bear.
Yeah, in sweaters. Yeah, I had to bring that one back up. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today at the Nerdy Point of View podcast. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Captain Sugar Bear. That's at CPT Sugar Bear. You can also find me at Soul Bear Prod, which is the production company that I started with my good buddy Quinn, who is at Solobon on Twitter. That is the two places you can find pretty much everything that I do, almost everything I do. So, yeah, with that, Carrie, where can we find you on the internet, and what are you working on?
You can find me on Twitter, DeviantArt, Instagram, and all those good social media sites under Shrieke, S-H-R-I-E-K-E. I have the Threat to Fate campaign on Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our Star Wars Galactic Mistakes campaign on Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And yeah, I will be posting some art here very soon, and yeah, look forward to kind of seeing what I'll be popping up, which sounds bad. I know you guys, are going to take that to a...
I think we would have let it go, but... You know.
I don't know. I don't know. I think there still would have been that like silence afterwards that just speaks volume.
Yeah.
Says speaking of speaking volumes, Martin, where are you on the internet and what are you working on?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I'm just winging it.
So you can find me on Twitter, as with the other guys, at Grifoleon, which is at GRYFFOLEON. Just keep an eye on there. You know, come say hi, throw abuse at me, say nice things. Teach me the ways of whimsy, and yeah, just generally have a good time.
Fantastic. Don't forget, you can find the show on Twitter as well, at NerdyPOV, and check out all our new episodes and our legacy episodes at NerdyPointOfView.com. Also, make sure to go to the Contact Us page, drop us some topic ideas, say hi, say fuck you, say we love you, say we hate you, just say something, because we love to hear from you. Make sure to also check out our Facebook page, enjoy our join. See, I'm telling you, every time, this is going to become a fucking thing. Join our growing Facebook community as well. We even have a Discord channel if you're into that sort of thing. Reach out to the podcast on Twitter, and we will make sure you get that link. Of course, if you liked what you heard today, it would help us out big time if you could leave us 5 stars and a review on iTunes. Please, please, please take the 5 seconds that it takes to do that. Your 5 seconds helps us immeasurably, because we want to grow. We want to be better, bigger, faster, stronger. With that... We also have our community shout-out. And this week, our community shout-out actually goes to Nerdarchy. You can find them on Twitter, at Nerdarchy. That's N-E-R-D-A-R-C-H-Y. There's a link to their YouTube channel there. And they are just an incredible group of people. Over 60,000 subs on YouTube. They put out a just metric crap ton of content. Including, you know, like 1 hour interviews with other creators and stuff like that, daily during the week. You got like GM tips, anything you can think of Dungeons and Dragons related, and like TTRPG related, these guys are talking about. They cover also just on a personal level, just super nice people. So make sure to give them a follow, check out the things that they're doing, because like I said, just the amount of incredible content they put out is just ridiculous. And I've actually been interviewed on their show too. So you can always look back through some old live chats and find me there back when we were not Nerdy Point of View and we were something else.
Way back when.
Way back in the day.
In the old days. It's been things have changed years. So much.
Help me. Please help me.
Wait, why do you sound the same? Yeah. We're so old now.
Are you a witch?
Because I'm a fucking unicorn. We don't age.
You're a witch. Shit. Burn the witch.
I don't know. Do I weigh the same as a goose? Or as a duck?
She turned me into a newt.
I got better, though.
I got better.
Put her under the water, and if she drowns, she's not a witch. But if she doesn't, then we'll burn her.
Oh, God, I'm getting burned.
Salem logic.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways.
If you liked what we were talking about today, feel free to hit us up. Tell us what your favorite Pokemon are, what you know, books you've been reading, what your superstitions might be. Reach out to any of us or the show. We love to talk to you. We love to hear from you. With that, is there anything else you guys have before we go?
Yeah, I'd just like to say, please get your Charmander spayed and neutered.
I'm leaving that awkward silence in. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Without, you know, I'm just going to start embracing the shit. With that, Carrie, take us out.
Hey!
Yep, one more awkward silence there.
No!